The headlines in the papers 44 years ago this very day, 1963. A little rock band from just across the pond launched their very first ever American album, a band called the Beatles. Huge news. Significant news. 74 years ago, on this very day, July 22nd, 1933, the headlines read, Willie Post, first ever person ever in the history of humanity to fly solo all the way around the planet. I mean, that is significant news that hit front page of the papers. Now, I don't know how many of you remember either one of those scenarios. But on that particular day, July 22 of that particular year, headline news, Willie Post completes the first journey all the way around. What about in the last 100 years? 100 years ago, in 1907, I just wonder, do you even know who won the World Series 100 years ago? I am a baseball fanatic. I love baseball. But do you know who won the World Series 100 years ago? Anybody? The Chicago Cubs. 100 years ago. How about something we're passionate about here in Buffalo? The Stanley Cup. Does anybody know 100 years ago who won the Stanley Cup? Because it was massive headline news 100 years ago. You know who it was? You ready? The Kenora Thistles. I don't even know who they are. You can't even find a whole lot about them on the internet. But the Kenora Thistles won the Stanley Cup 100 years ago. All four of those events, significant newsmakers at that particular time. 100 years from now, what do you think will really matter? Because I don't think it really matters to us that the Cubs won the World Series. Now, for the diehard Cubs fan, I get it. But 100 years from now, I mean, here we are 100 years removed from Kenora winning the Stanley Cup, and it really has very little impact on us today. Most of us in the room, except for maybe the diehard Stanley Cup trackers, wouldn't even know that. But 100 years from now, what is going to be a splash? What is going to be significant news 100 years from now in your life? What do you think that's going to be? You think it might be whether or not you had the brand new iPhone or a BlackBerry or just an old cell phone? You think that really matters? You think it really matters what kind of automobile 100 years from now? Do you think that really will have any relevance 100 years from now? Do you think it will have any relevance 100 years from this date, July 22, 100 years from now, whether or not your home was the largest home on the street? Do you think that'll even really matter 100 years from now? Will it really matter 100 years from now if your life didn't go as you planned it? If you look back on your life from 100 years ago, and you go, man, you know, life just wasn't fair. Will that really have much relevance? I think we all know what's going to have some significant relevance 100 years from now. And it's as did we know Jesus Christ? That's what's really going to influence you 100 years from today. Did you know him? I mean, when we boil it all down, it's cool to have a cool new phone. It's cool to drive a nice automobile. It's cool to have a great home. But when we really hone it down, what really matters 100 years from now is, did you know him? If we take the next few minutes and talk through that, keep it in mind, perspective, 100 years from now, what really has relevance, can we spend a few minutes talking about how can we 100 years from now have the greatest amount of impact and influence possible? 100 years from now. If you've got a Bible with you, open up to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 is the passage of Scripture I'd like for us to read from. And just kind of hold your finger there in Acts chapter 2, because we're going to look at the first century church this morning for just a minute. And as you're finding your place there and you're holding your spot there, let me just ask you this question. Pastor Jerry was up here about 20 minutes ago, and he threw out a phrase you have heard multiple times in the last 10 to 12 months. And it's this phrase: we want to reach every man, woman, and child. We, meaning not just he and I, although he and I do believe that, but you and us, all of us together, the chapel, churches in this community that have that same mission. We want to reach every man, every woman, every child, and give them multiple opportunities. Not just one shot, not just one knock on the door, not just one visit to an event, but multiple opportunities to see or hear the gospel, the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. Because we know that is what's going to matter 100 years from now. What do you do with that piece of information and then take it a step further? As he said just a few minutes ago, in our circle of influence, it's important that we recognize in that circle of influence, that can mean the greater Western New York area. It could mean maybe a 2-mile circle of this campus. It could mean the state of New York. It could mean the Northeast region. It could mean our continent. It might even mean the planet. We could draw our circle big enough to evaluate and determine, are we having influence on the planet? But what about in our circle of influence right here? We gather together in this large gathering every single week, week in, week out. And a year from now, we'll look back over the course of a year and have to determine, boy, what did we do with that time, that 1 year? How did we use that information that we heard from this platform? As Pastor Jerry, the primary communicator from here, week in and week out, delivers something that God's laid in his heart for us. What do we do with that information? How do we live that information out? Because 100 years from now, it will have relevance what we've done with that one single truth. Do you know Jesus Christ? Here in Acts chapter 2, you've got the start of a New Testament church. We already know at this point, Jesus has already died on a cross. We already know that he's been buried in a tomb and 3 days later exploded with life. And we celebrate that in April or March every year called Easter, and we celebrate what he has done. But here in our circle of influence, how do we get that message out? Because we hear it here from this platform. Last week, dozens of people came to know Christ. They placed their faith in Jesus Christ. And from that moment, 7 days has transpired. What have they done with that faith? We rejoice with you if you've made that commitment. Those of you that may have made that commitment a year ago or 7 years ago or 10 years ago, or maybe like me, I made it when I was 17 years of age, my senior year of high school. What have you done with that information? Because 100 years from now, that's really what's going to matter. And what's going to matter for me as a believer is, how do I take what I know to be the truth and now pour and invest that into a next generation so they can continue carrying the torch of truth? That's what first century church did. They were commissioned to take the truth of what Jesus had just taught them, what the apostles have now embraced and said, we're going to make a difference. So that when the 21st century rolls around, whenever that is, but the 21st century comes around, there will be churches all over the planet that will be able to go, you know what? The greatest truth you could ever know is Jesus Christ. So here in Acts chapter 2, let's look at what they did. Because we have a circle of influence here. Did you realize that every single week there's a circle of influence right here on this campus? Did you know that every single week, give or take a few numbers here, but by and large, from nursery age all the way through high school age, which is considered family ministry, that is considered those that are still at home. Do you know there's over 1,000 that attend here every single week? Boy, we've got a circle of influence. We as moms and dads, as grandparents, as uncles and aunts, as mentors to kids, we have the opportunity within a circle of influence to impact a whole new generation with the most incredible news known to mankind, and it's that Jesus saves. So what are we doing in our circle of influence? Acts chapter 2 gives us a good outline for some things they did that I believe, by the way, we are doing here. So let's examine for just a few minutes. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Look at what this passage says. And they continued, or they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. Now, do we remember what the apostles' teaching is here? It's not referring just to the apostles' creed here. This is to what Christ has already invested in his short tenure here on this planet. He's poured everything he's got into these apostles so that they will carry on the mission of the Great Commission. So that they will reach every man, woman, and child, those that they didn't even know, you and I, with the life-changing news of the gospel. They had to think beyond just the context of what's going to happen in that small circle. What's going to happen globally, universally, down through the corridors of time. But they had to start somewhere, and they started right here in Acts 2 in their local community of faith. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. Many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles, and all those who had believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Man, did you catch that? They cared about one another. It wasn't just about the gathering. It was about the investment in the life of those in the context of their community. It was about the investment in their circle of influence. It was about making a difference to carry on the message or the way. Man, they were passionate, weren't they? I mean, this is extreme commitment. They sold it all. I don't even know that I can comprehend it. I don't know that I can wrap my arms around selling everything I've got to help meet the needs of others. But that's the kind of commitment, that's the kind of passion, that's what's been ingrained in them to make a difference. They want this gospel to be vaulted into the 21st century. So they were willing to sacrifice everything they had. Goes on to say, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor. Watch this, having favor with all the people, not just in their circle of influence, but everybody on the outside as well. They had obtained favor with them. Oh, this is an incredible passage. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Do you know right here at the chapel? I don't know that it's literally every single day of the calendar year, but I'll tell you, man, there is day after day after day people come to faith in Christ through this ministry. Whether that's on a Wednesday night in a high school group, whether that's on a Tuesday night in a college ministry, reaching young adults through Vintage, whether that's a women's Bible study, whether that's a Lifelinks group that's meeting in a neighborhood. Maybe it's a Potter's Hand event. Maybe it's a men's breakfast. Maybe it's a time of fellowship around a breakfast table between you, your spouse, and another couple that you know. And people are coming to faith in Christ through the ministry of the chapel. And here in Acts chapter 2, the outline begins to be unloaded on us on a few things that they did. First of all, you know something they did? If you were reading this passage, one of the things they did you catch it there in verse number 42? They continually, steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, or they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship. Then they were reading the Word of God together. What would it look like if we had a community of other adults with us we were reading the Word with? And every Sunday we have the opportunity to read the Word together. We just did that. But day in and day out, it goes beyond our own personal devotional time to a context of community. Those of you that have experienced the opportunity of reading God's Word with other believers, what a powerful influence it has in our life. Maybe you've not experienced that kind of community yet. Maybe you've not developed that kind of friendship. Can we encourage you? The chapel is a ministry that wants to enhance what you're doing in your journey with Christ, because let's face it, the joy is in the journey. And when we look back over 100 years from now, what's going to really matter was your name written in the book of life. They were reading the Word of God together. But not only did they read the Word of God together, they were doing life together. It said here in verse number 42, not only were they adhering to the apostles' teaching, but they were fellowshipping together. I mean, we can define fellowship in a lot of different terms. But they were hanging out. They were doing life together. Are you doing life together? Not only that, but they were breaking bread together. It means they were eating some meals together. In other words, here they go and they found the value in sitting down at a table and sharing with one another. And by the way, this could also be translated that they were not just eating meals together, but they were observing one of the great meals, one of the two ordinances of the New Testament, and that's communion together. I mean, they're observing and remembering in the context of their community what Jesus had already done for them, and celebrating where they were headed with this message. I mean, this is a powerful passage for us. They were sharing together. It was more than just their own personal prayer time, but they were sharing prayer together. When's the last time maybe you and a group of other believers prayed together? You agreed on something and passionately you approach the throne of God. Say, God, we want to make a difference. We want to have a greater amount of influence. Couples praying together, maybe for their children. Saying, God, would you protect our children? You see, in Acts chapter 2, they believed in an extreme commitment. In Acts chapter 2, they had an extreme faith. There are times in our life where we can read the Word of God and go, yeah, man, that was good for them in first century, but come on, this is 21st century. Things have changed. Things have changed, but the message hasn't. And we have a responsibility to pour and to invest what God has engrafted to us. And it goes beyond just, where do we want maybe these kids, these 1,000 or so kids that show up on a weekly basis in this circle of influence? It goes beyond where do we want them to be someday? And it goes to the context of who do we want them to become someday? And we begin to teach with the end in mind on the campus of the chapel so that we can think more strategically about just what happens today, but what happens when they're in a university setting? Because the statistics tell us somewhere between 70 and 80% of young people are leaving the church after graduation from high school. Matter of fact, I was at a meeting about a year and a half ago down in Orlando with a group of people, and a guy by the name of Barna was there, and he shared this statistic that he said he thinks in the evangelical church like we are preaching the gospel. Kids growing up in an evangelical church, somewhere around 88 to 92% are leaving within 16 months after graduation. Something has got to change. Because we know the truth of the message. We gather and we hear it, but how are we applying that into our life? I love kids. I love them from the time they're born. I love them when they're in middle school and elementary, and I love them as a high school student. And we are on a mission to reach every man, woman, and nursery-age child, preschooler, elementary, middle schooler, and high schooler, and giving them multiple opportunities to see. Today is one of those opportunities to influence and impact the next generation of leaders that will be sitting in these seats in just a few short years. What are we going to do with that kind of responsibility? Because it's enormous for us. It's almost overwhelming for us. Because it takes us out of the mode of comfort into the mode of action. What do we do with that? When we talk about an extreme commitment, as first century church had, let me just tell you, you know and I know, it not only was an extreme commitment on their part, but it produced incredible results. Here we are, a living testimony of that. The product of their investment, we reap today. You see, in our circle of influence here on the chapel, and we've got a number of circles of influences. I mean, we've got a business park here we want to influence. We've got the greater Western New York area. We can draw a 3-mile radius. We can do all kinds of things. But every single week, I just want us to focus on one circle of influence, and that's what happens here. But what if we said we're going to become passionate about the circle of influence that's here today, because this week alone, over 1,000 kids will walk onto this campus that need somebody to invest in them. Beyond just walking into a classroom and a babysitting environment, it's a ministry environment. It's in somebody's heart that says, I'm going to invest into this young person. My goodness, if we took that kind of responsibility, and many of you have, but the need is great. Maybe it's a third grader that walks in on a Sunday. He's coming from a home that has no dad. And this little third grader doesn't have the privilege of going out and playing catch with dad on a Saturday morning. But he comes to this ministry and comes to our church and walks into a third grade classroom and is just looking for a male figure that would pour and invest into his life. Somebody that is masculine that would say, hey man, hey buddy, you are awesome, you are great. Let me teach you more than just what you're going to learn at school in the math class. Let me teach you about life. Let me teach you about the things that really matter 100 years from now, and it's your faith in Christ. You go, but come on, Pastor David, I can't walk a kid through that. What we're talking about is walking a kid through life. Isn't that what Acts chapter 2 did? They developed a community of faith, a community of believers that said, we're going to be so intentional that we will invest our lives, everything we have, to impact our children so that they will impact their children, and they will impact their children so that this thing will carry on up to us. And I'll tell you what, they did a good job. Because here we stand proclaiming the greatest news of all time. He is alive. And there are 1,000 kids that will walk onto this campus week in, week out that need to hear the same message. He is alive and he loves you and he died for you and he arose again for you. But boy, it takes some extreme commitment. It takes somebody that says, I believe in the next generation. Maybe it's a middle schooler that's ADD and they show up here on a Sunday morning already wired with 3 cups of Dunkin' Donuts coffee. And they literally are bouncing off the wall. And they're humming dodgeballs at you. And you're going, you know what? Man, that little middle schooler, I can resonate with. I was like that. And I'm going to take that little middle school guy, that little middle school girl that's woohoo off the charts wild, and I'm going to love on them. I'm going to pour into them. I'm going to make such an investment in them, their life will never be the same. I'm going to pour Jesus into them. And I'm going to pour it through word. I'm going to pour it through action. I'm going to pour it through an embrace every single week. They're going to know somebody cares about you. Or maybe it's that high school girl that shows up. And she walks into this large group environment, maybe against her own will, and she walks in and she's been beat up, she's been battered, she is bruised up from life, she's been abused. And she walks in and she hears a message, maybe from Pastor Jerry or somebody from this platform, and she says, man, that is me. And in tears she prays and says, God, I don't know how you can do it with this vessel, but man, I need you. I've been walked on. I've been trampled on. I don't know that I have any value in life, but God, if you say I do, giddy up, go. I'm here and I'm yours. And that high school girl makes a decision and then shows up on a Wednesday night and says, okay, now what do I do in my next step of faith? And some lady connects with this girl and pours and invests for 2 or 3 years or for a year and just says, man, I'm going to love this high school girl. And that high school girl walks in on a Wednesday night and she's now engaged because she said, you know what, I'm going to clean my act up. And all of a sudden she gets involved in another relationship. And boy, she's on the edge. Man, she's walked right up to the edge of making a poor decision. But she shows up on a Wednesday night and some adult that has said, I believe in the next generation. And I believe in my circle of influence, I can make an impact. And some high school leader says, hey girl, I love you. What's going on? I can tell you're hurting. Can I pray with you? Here's my email. Shoot me an email. That's the kind of extreme commitment first century church had. And it produced an unbelievable product. As a matter of fact, in the context and life of the chapel, we are passionate. Not just as a staff, but there are a group of leaders in this room. Maybe you just finished serving at the 9 o'clock hour. Or maybe you serve next week during the 11 o'clock hour and you are passionate about reaching young people. Can I just tell you, here is about the average influence we're going to have in terms of hours. There are 40 yellow marbles in here. We're going to get about 40 hours of investment on this campus because not every kid's going to be here every single week. Best case scenario, 52. But let's just say we get about 40 on average. That kid that's coming from a broken home. Or that kid that's coming from a home that's a blended family. And one weekend there with dad and one weekend with mom. And maybe you come and you bring the kids and your spouse, your ex-spouse doesn't. And so we get to see them about every other week. Maybe it's an illness or a vacation or maybe it's final exams for a high school student. And we get about 40 hours a year to invest into the life of a child here on this campus. Doesn't sound like much, does it? 40 hours can make a huge difference, though. I mean, 40 hours can have life-changing, eternal impact in the life of a child. However, what if we didn't just say, okay, we got these 40 hours. Pastor Dave, you're a family pastor. You do it all. I'll walk into the large group gathering. You take over the whole spiritual responsibility. Or Allison, because you're this unbelievable children's leader, we'll just let you have it all and we'll dump our kids off on you. And boy, I hope you guys do a great job of training my child spiritually. Can I tell you, we are going to do our best. And we will give it our best shot week in, week out in those 40 hours. What if we took this side and this approach? See right here's 3,000 red marbles. You know what this represents? The influence of a parent on a yearly basis in the life of their child. I got 3 kids. I want the church to do everything they can in those 40 hours. But I get 3,000 hours every single year to pour and invest and drive deep, deep stakes into their heart on the virtues of life and the things that will matter 100 years from now. See, these 3,000 years, I take serious. These 3,000 hours, not 3,000 years. Boy, that'd be awesome if I had that. But these 3,000 hours in 1 year to pour into an 8-year-old, pour into an 11-year-old, pour into a 13-year-old, and my 8-year-old has somebody pouring into them that, by the way, 2 weeks ago at his Little League baseball game showed up to say, hey, David and Sean and Connor, you guys all come to the chapel. I'm here as your Sunday school teacher. I'm coming to watch you play baseball. Those kids went nuts because their teacher was there. They went beyond the 40 hours on this campus and said, we're going to make an investment. My 11-year-old's got a little lady in this church named Colleen that says, I love you, Dayla. I'm going to pour my life into you, Dayla. My little 13-year-old's got a little girl named Elle, a nice lady named Elle, not a little girl anymore. She's married now. And Elle pours and invests, and Elle says, hey, why don't you go grab coffee with me this week? And let's talk life. Because there's people that recognize the value in relationship. And the influence and the impact as a father that it has on me when the church says, not only do I have my 3,000 hours to pour into my kids, but I'm going to embrace what the church has done. That's why I'm here today. Because between the church and me at my home, we're going to come together and we're going to leverage everything we've got. And it creates orange. Red and yellow combined create this dynamic that is unbelievable. It leverages our time and our investment into the life of every single child, whether they're 13 or they're 17, whether they're 3 or whether they're 8, whether they're hurting or they're healthy, whether they're in a blended family or a family where mom and dad have been married for 20 years together. There is a partnership that takes place and comes together to create this unbelievable dynamic of orange, a color of transition. A color that when we walk out of here, we hopefully will have you so impacted that you'll remember every time you see orange, I need to invest, because 100 years from now, what will really matter is, did they know Jesus Christ? And in my circle of influence at the chapel, I have the distinct privilege of investing my life into the next generation. And as I've been speaking, looking around this room, I've seen some tremendous, tremendous warriors that have been serving for a long time. But I know there is an ever-growing group of young people. Middle school, high school, children, in this thing we call family ministry here at the chapel, that are growing up, that need somebody to take an extreme step and say, you know what? I'll be the one to stand in that gap, and I will make an investment. I will take some of my time and pour, and in the context, know that this church is also partnering with me as a parent. As Pastor Jerry, the team of the chapel, continues to develop the ministry avenues to make this investment. Because if we leverage this right here, the influence that we have in the life of a child is unbelievable. But it starts with some people just saying, hey, I get it. When red and yellow come together, we've created something really cool. And it's orange. And 100 years from now, what really does matter is faith in Christ. So let me ask you, if your mission is to have the latest in technology, or to have your name written down in the medical journals, that's cool. It's all cool. Nothing wrong there. But let's gain perspective. I just read to you about some massive explosions onto the scene. One in 1933, a guy finally goes all by himself around the world in an airplane. That was huge. What does it really matter? Is it advanced technology? Absolutely. Are we the recipients and benefit? Absolutely. Very cool, and we need those kinds of advancements. But 100 years from now, what really matters in your life is, did you know Christ? What matters in my life is, did I know Christ? And what happens in the life of my children 100 years from now? Did they know Christ? I have the responsibility as a parent to make that investment. And I rely on the investment of the church, and we partner together to do something for the glory of God, because the task is way beyond me. And in my community of faith, in my circle of influence here at the chapel, you as my friends, together we influence my children. Together we influence your children or your grandchildren or your brother or your little sister or your niece or your nephew. In the community of faith here at the chapel, within our circle of influence, we have an enormous task. What are we going to do with it? Because 100 years from now, what will really matter is, did you know Christ? There's a great passage of Scripture in John chapter 13 and verse 35 when Jesus himself said, "By this," you ready? "By this, all men will know that you are mine, and that you are my disciples." And what is it? It's if you have love for one another. Now stop and think about it. Are you living life together with some believers? Are you living life in the context of community? This is not a time for us to promote or push you to come and serve in children's ministry or in family ministry. Although that may happen in your heart and God prompts you to do that, we embrace that. We want you to grab a hold of what really does matter. And we have a next generation of young people that need to have somebody that doesn't just invest in an educational market, although important, but the spiritual market as well. So 100 years from now, what's going to matter to you? 100 years from now, what will they say about you? Did you make that kind of influence and impact? 100 years from now? Your children are a testimony of that. Those that you developed relationship will be a testimony of that. So 100 years from now, what's said of you? The church, the family, and a partnership together to leverage everything we've got to keep passing the torch of the gospel. That's what matters. And I can tell you there are boys and girls of every age that show up every week on this campus that need you. Not to sit with them in a room, but to do life with them. What are we going to do to impact the next generation? My mom and dad are the single greatest influencers in my life. I grew up in a pastor's home. My brother is a pastor, tremendous influence in my life. My sister's on a church staff, preschool director. Both she and my brother, significantly older, have had tremendous impact on my life. My other sister married a children's pastor. She's had influence in my life. A high school coach that loved the Lord with all his heart, demonstrated it athletically and by teaching virtues into my life, has had influence in my life. A youth pastor named Pastor Dan and Pastor Ray. Pastor Ray was this old guy with black hair slicked back, a smile as big as Batman, the Joker. Well into his 50s, and I thought he was the coolest cat on the planet. And he had influence in my life. Who are you influencing? Who are you having an impact on? Because 100 years from now, everybody will know it. Let's pray. Father, I surely love you. And thank you for the privilege. May I be a greater influencer of next generation leaders than ever before. Kids here that matter. There are kids here on this campus every week that may look a little different, may wear a different label in their clothing, may wear a different pair of tennis shoes than the next kid, but they matter. They are your unique creation, and you love them so passionately, you are willing to lay down the life of your son for them. So God, we pray, may we have a passion to reach them. May we partner moms and dads and family units with the church to have a greater amount of influence. May we leverage that time to impact this generation. May we be committed to it. Hey, your head is just bowed reverently for a minute. Just I want you to think for just a minute. This is beyond just leveraging to reach next generation. It's specific to you. 100 years from now, what really matters is, did you know Christ? So do you know him? That's really, when it boils down to it, it's what's going to matter. I mean, there's some other things that can build on that, but foundationally, did you know Christ? If you don't, today, maybe His Holy Spirit is knocking at your door just going, hey, man, you heard it today. Because 100 years from now, that's what's going to matter. So today, maybe you give your life to Christ. The way you do that is through prayer. And it's not the prayer that I pray or repeating it after me, but it's the sincerity in your heart, and it's trusting Him through faith. Maybe you need to pray something like this. God, forgive me. Today, I recognize that 100 years from now, what really matters is, do I know You? The very best I know how. I embrace that today. I believe that You sent Jesus to die on a cross for me. And the very best I know how today, I accept that. May I learn to grow in You, because I give You my life today. In Christ's name. Maybe you prayed something like that today. Maybe you are already a believer and you've already nailed that down 100 years from now. You know you'll be standing in heaven. What kind of investment will be made during this time? What kind of journey are you going to take? What kind of journey will you take others on for Him? We have a great responsibility to pass on what the first century church passed on to us. And right here in this circle of influence at the chapel, there is a great need to have influence and impact. Maybe it's your heart's desire to be a part of that. Maybe you've been looking for, how am I going to make an investment? And maybe God's working in your heart just to talk to somebody. We invite you and encourage you. Think orange. I can have a great amount of influence in my 3,000 hours, but it's even greater when I partner with our church and those leaders that love and invest in our kids. Maybe you're one of those leaders. Father, we love You. We praise You for who You are and what You do. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Pastor David pointed us to that which the Scripture points us to, and that is to fix our attention on God so that He can give us a higher purpose than just us. There's more to this life than just us. There's the investment that God desires to yield through our lives. So it's a great message, and I will have a hard time not thinking of that every time I see orange. I'll be ruined from this point forward in a good way when I see orange. I'll be thinking about my investment, the investment our church is making in transitioning people in their walk with Christ. So thanks for that.